You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Wow. All I can say is wow. Did you miss football? Because week one games don't get much more exciting than that. What a comeback victory for Mitch Trubisky and the Chicago Bears to defeat the Detroit Lions against all odds and start the season 1-0. Thanks for joining us for today's Locked On Bears podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I cover the Chicago Bears for BearsWire. And I'm here to bring you your daily in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. Today's podcast is brought to you by Pepsi, made for football watching. Sunday's game was clear evidence that football will be different this year, but Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. We might not be able to enjoy a game from the stands at Soldier Field, but we can recreate our own stadium environment at home. Turn up the speakers and pour yourself an ice-cold glass of Pepsi, and you'll feel like you're right in the action. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. Pepsi is made for football watching. On today's show, we're going to try and encapsulate everything we saw from Mitch Trubisky. The good, the bad, the in-between, and try and figure out what the heck this quarterback is and what we can expect from him moving forward. Then we'll look at the newfound success the Bears have in the running game and some offensive identity progress, as well as some nice development from a couple of key rookies in particular. And then we'll wrap up with what went wrong on defense and what we need to see out of this Bears front seven in particular to get this defense back on track. It's funny how with everything so different this year, the one thing that seemed to stay the same was the Mitch Trubisky roller coaster ride. And that's really where it was. There was a lot of lows and then a really big high. And it's kind of a familiar path that we've seen Mitch take, where a lot of mistakes in the first three quarters, some missed throws, missed opportunities, a bad fumble, some penalties, and the offense really failing to score many points at all. And then all of a sudden in the fourth quarter, it's like a different quarterback comes out there. He hits receivers up and down the field, makes some of the most difficult throws of his career, really. The Bears score three touchdowns in the fourth quarter to win 27-23. It's a similar story to what we saw last year against the Denver Broncos, a miraculous game-winning fourth quarter drive after the offense was inept for the majority of that game. But Mitch makes, again, in that game, one of the best throws of his career to Allen Robinson on fourth down over the middle, stepping up when they absolutely needed it the most. And then Eddie Pinheiro hit the game-winning field goal in that one. And even go back the year before that, the wild card game against the Philadelphia Eagles. Bad quarterback play for the first three quarters of that game, and all of a sudden, quarter four, season on the line, Mitch Trubisky goes into this clutch mode and delivered some great touchdowns in that game, set up a game-winning field goal, of course, didn't go in and doesn't have the same result, but same sort of Mitch storyline. And I'm really struggling with like a fully fleshed-out explanation for this, right? It seems like in the fourth quarter, he's able to turn his brain off a little bit more and just kind of relax, have fun, play football, and kind of flow through the offense. It doesn't look like he's thinking so hard in those types of situations, whereas throughout the rest of the game, for whatever reason, he's missing some open receivers, he's throwing things behind guys, he's miscommunicating, he's overthrowing, underthrowing, and all aspects of inaccurate quarterback play. Like, I think the most jarring thing for me in this one was that deep slot fade touchdown to Anthony Miller in the fourth quarter. Absolutely beautiful, right over the top of the defense, exactly where it had to go in the end zone on a rope. Was it like 27 yards downfield? It was one of the Bears' biggest plays of the game. And earlier in the whole game, it was like first or second quarter, he attempted almost the identical slot fade to Anthony Miller. It wasn't at the goal line like that. It was a little bit farther downfield, but same type of distance, exact same route, exact same coverage, and he completely missed. And it's hard to like fathom how he can do the same thing twice, and one is this beautiful, perfect ball, and in the first half, it's like an impossible throw for him. Or like in the first quarter, when he's got Ted Ginn coming across the middle on, I think it was third and long, and Trubisky has a clean pocket, steps into the throw, fires it over the middle, and it's so far behind Ted Ginn that he can't reach back and get it for the potential first down. Or, you know, Cole Kmet in the red zone, a slight miscommunication, slight misthrow there where Kmet looked to be open for a touchdown but kind of put it behind him where the safety was going to be, just not clicking in that way. And yet, you go to the fourth quarter, and it's a really great out route to Anthony Miller on the sideline, some nice plays to Allen Robinson as well, and it's just smooth, easy to go. And yet, in the first half, you have a couple of dropped interceptions, a couple of really forced passes. You know, as usual, it's never 100% Mitch Trubisky's fault. I mean, we saw Jimmy Graham miss a couple of balls that should have been easy catches. We've seen a couple of mistakes here and there by other people, but for the most part, it was a sub 50% completion percentage with some opportunities for interceptions, including right at the goal line when he's trying to throw to the running back and the DB had come right up to Trubisky and jumped up and got two hands on it and just let it go to the turf. So it's really mind-boggling, the good and the bad, the extremes that we see from Mitch Trubisky. In this case, it worked. They won. He was good enough in the fourth quarter to overcome everything he had done through the first three. The question is, how sustainable is that? Is that something the Bears can live with and get by on over the course of a season? That works against the Detroit Lions, who are historically bad at giving up fourth quarter leads. It'll likely work against the New York Giants next week. Does it work against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in week 5? Does it work against the New Orleans Saints, the Green Bay Packers, the Minnesota Vikings? That's the real question. That's what Matt Nagy needs to be weighing here as we see how Trubisky continues to play out the season, because all of a sudden he's not going to instantly be this consistent quarterback every game for four quarters. As much as you want to see fourth quarter Mitch all the time, this is who he is. And the question for Matt Nagy is this Mitch Trubisky good enough? Can you win enough games with this type of quarterback play? Because this is what we can expect from Mitch moving forward. I think the comeback win extended his leash even longer than whatever it was to start the season. I think this is going to stick with Matt Nagy for Mitch's resilience and make him want to give Mitch more chances moving forward, especially as the rest of the offense around him seems to be improving. We saw a lot of success in the running game, and some different tweaks Matt Nagy made to the offense as a whole really made a big difference. We'll dive into all the adjustments and now the new expectations next on Locked On Bears. I don't know about you, but I take my game day very seriously. And with a noon kickoff like this, I always have to make sure I've got a good, solid lunch beforehand and snacks during the game. And with everything going on with COVID in the world right now, I love being able to just pull up my phone, place my order on DoorDash, and have the food delivered right to me. It's so easy. For Sunday's game, I looked up, got my Buffalo Wild Wings order placed, had my wings brought to my door, doorbell ring right before kickoff, got my food, didn't have to go to a restaurant, talk to anybody at the store, paid for it cashless, and didn't even have to meet with the delivery driver because DoorDash has contactless delivery. So it was a doorbell, open up the door, food sitting there, ready to go. I'm ready for game day. I'm full. I've got my wings, my snacks. I don't have to be exposed to anything. Get to enjoy the food in the comfort of my own home with the convenience of DoorDash. Try it for yourself. Right now, you can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDON. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDON. I was hyped to have football back on my TV for a Sunday afternoon, but I know as you get a little bit older, it can be hard to get, you know, the juices pumping the way you could when you were younger. And talking about erectile dysfunction and these kind of things aren't easy. You know, it's kind of a stigma. You try and brush it off or just make excuses or whatever. But with our friends at Roman, it's easy to talk about it with a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication. It's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNFL and complete an online visit. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNFL. GetRoman. GetRoman.com/LockedOnNFL. Matt Nagy talked a lot through the offseason about wanting to establish more of an offensive identity. Of course, recognizing that the running game in 2019 was not good enough, was non-existent for portions of the season, and that hurt the quarterback, that hurt the offense, that hurt the defense, it hurt the whole team. I mean, it's a ripple effect, and a lot of these sort of position groups and success kind of rely on each other and feed off of each other. If the running game's not going well, it's more difficult for your quarterback. And if it's more difficult for your running game and your quarterback, then you're not going to score as many points, and then it's more difficult for your defense to stay in games, and it really just builds from there. And so, as much as we heard Matt Nagy say a lot of the things we wanted to hear this offseason, we maybe were a little skeptical, right? Given that he's been a head coach on this team now for a couple of seasons, and maybe past evidence would say that he's quick to abandon the running game too often. We were kind of wondering what it was going to look like this year, especially with now Cordarrelle Patterson in the backfield, David Montgomery coming off of a groin injury, albeit seemingly fully healthy, but a lot of the same offensive linemen when that was part of the issue last year as well. But new offensive line coach, new offensive coordinator, you know, no longer the same running game coordinators as before, and we saw a much improved Bears rushing attack. I mean, this was a team that seemed to be able to run at will. I mean, as a team, they averaged 5.3 yards per carry. 28 carries for 149 yards. David Montgomery was at 5 yards a carry. Tariq Cohen was at 6. Cordarrelle Patterson at 5 as well, albeit a little bit of a smaller sample size there. But it was not an issue to run the ball effectively. So a couple of Trubisky scrambles in there as well. And not that every play was a huge breakaway run. There were a couple of stops in the backfield. There were also a couple of big ones. Cohen had a 16-yarder. Patterson had a 13-yarder. Trubisky scrambled for, I think it was 20, plus a face-masking penalty on top of that. So they were breaking through the line of scrimmage and getting some big plays in the ground game. And I don't know that it was necessarily an earth-shattering, brand-new scheme, per se, but I thought there was a certain consistency and rhythm to it that really helped. So, like, no team in the NFL is pulling out brand new runs that anyone has never seen before. But, like, for example, the first play of the game, the Bears came out with J.P. Holtz at fullback in an offset eye formation and handed it off up the middle, and they were able to create some yards and kind of be that physical team up front. I think it was a 6-yard gain for David Montgomery, and that pretty well kind of set the tone for what they wanted to do. We saw a lot of plays with 2 and 3 tight ends in the game that the Bears were running out of, getting the Lions in their base defense, you know, 7 guys in the box, but if you have 7 blockers, your running back should have a numbers advantage there to have not enough guys left to tackle him unless a cornerback or a safety comes in, and by then, you've gained your 5 to 6 yards and you've had yourself a successful running play. So, well, I don't want to make it out as simple as just a personnel change. I mean, I think sticking to it and having a consistency with it was helpful. They did abandon it a little bit as the Lions built more and more of a lead. You just can't burn too much clock running the ball down the stretch. And I still would have liked to see Matt Nagy run it even a little bit more throughout this game, especially in the second half there. It still was better. It was a lot of good steps from the play calling standpoint and really great steps from the actual player execution standpoint. The offensive line was getting after it. They took it upon themselves to run block and be physical. I really was impressed with Jermaine Ifedi at right guard in particular being a significant factor in the running game there. But across the board, you know, it only takes one guy to miss his block to blow up a running play. You need all 5 to really do their job. And that they did. Maybe some of it was a reflection of the Detroit Lions, who they were going up against. You know, they have some bodies on the interior. A big guy like Danny Shelton at nose tackle is 350 pounds, but their linebackers were not doing a great job. And the Bears were doing a good job of blocking them up, but it's not as though this was the league's best front 7 that the Bears were running on either. But They couldn't run on anybody last year except for the Chargers randomly. But for the most part, the running game struggled against good and bad defenses in the past. So even if you want to chalk this one up as a bad defense, it's still progress for this Bears running game. It was guys getting to the second level. It was linemen holding their blocks. And it was a variety of schemes, too. There were some outside zone stretch runs. There were some power, some counter, some different things with pulling linemen. I think Nagy got to be more of the gap scheme runs that he wants to do from that Andy Reid system. I think they were having success with those versus more of the zone style of running that we've seen in the past. But I really think what tied this all together was the play action. There was a lot of play action. You know, it's becoming more and more popular across the league, but, you know, last year the Bears were kind of middle of the pack, a little bit, I think, below average slightly in how often they ran play action. It was one of the complaints against Matt Nagy that I thought was most valid. Play action statistically makes passing plays better. It works universally across the NFL. It's not a guarantee that every play is going to be great, but over the course of 100 passes, if you did 100 play action and 100 not, the 100 play actions are statistically going to be better. And I think the Bears were able to get a real offensive identity flowing off of that for much of the game. There were open receivers, linebackers were getting kind of sucked in by that, and it also helps the running game a little bit too when then they have to be wary of, okay, is this going to be a handoff or is it going to be a pass every time? Then when it is a handoff, maybe if they hesitate ever so much, it gives your offensive linemen that much more time to get into place and have better positioning for those running plays. So I really thought it was good progress from Matt Nagy in this regard. Not only sticking to the run more, but getting creative with it, getting some different looks there, being able to mix things up and free some guys up so linebackers can't just key in on the same running play over and over again. They seem to be kind of coming from different directions. A lot of under center, a lot of shotgun, I mean, mixing it up in that regard. A lot of different personnel, two tight ends, three tight ends, a fullback, and then the play action off of that really, I thought, was well executed in terms of having a plan and having an identity there. But it felt kind of weird, given that, like, the offense seemed to be having a lot of success, you know, with the running game, with this identity, and then Trubisky missing some throws in there and some inaccuracy and a couple of miscommunications and, you know, rust, I would say, that led to not very many points in the first half. And yet, like, it was the Bears defense that felt like it was really struggling down the stretch, even though, you know, it seemed like from a scheme standpoint, the offense was making some progress, the quarterbacking was not, and then the defense kind of started falling apart a little bit too down the stretch. And it was like, it was kind of a weird feeling of this Bears defense losing some of that strength and consistency. We'll try and figure out what went wrong and what they can do to improve next week against the New York Giants next on Locked On Bears. This Bears defense still has time to come back better than ever with their new look. And if there's anybody that knows about coming back better than ever with a new look, it's our friends at Built Bar. Because Built Bar makes the best tasting protein bar ever. But then this summer, they did a redesign. They tweaked their formula ever so slightly. And they took what was already my favorite protein bar and somehow made it even better. And like, I still don't understand how they did this. They added 6 new flavors. But even the old flavors that they kept, like a coconut. I used to eat the old coconut one and I still buy the new coconut flavor. And somehow it tastes even better. It's sweeter, it's chewier, it's the perfect consistency. It really does taste just like a candy bar, but it's only got 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbohydrates, only 130 calories, but 17 grams of protein. It's the perfect for any active lifestyle or if you just want to add something a little bit healthier to your diet while still getting to taste that sweet, delicious candy bar flavor. Built Bars are built for you. Go to BuiltBar.com and use our promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON, Locked On, for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. When outside linebacker Robert Quinn was officially ruled out for the Lions game, I think we were justified in having a little bit of a concern about, okay, what's this Bears pass rush going to look like without their prized free agent addition? But then the The Lions announced that their starting right tackle, Halapulivati-Vaitai, was also out for the game. So they were going up with a backup right tackle and a rookie right guard against Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks. So we then kind of thought the Bears would be all right. That's about as favorable of a matchup as you could possibly get. And yet, it felt like this Bears pass rush was gone for far too much of this game. And it's a little bit hard to explain. I mean, we don't have the All-22 film yet. That doesn't come out until the middle of the week. So I can't go back and look at it from the end zone blocking angle. But it just didn't seem to me like guys were consistently winning their one-on-one matchups. In particular, it felt like Akeem Hicks disappeared. And I think that they were bringing him along slowly. There were some drives where they would take him out of the game and kind of let him rest up. They don't want to overdo it so early for him. And a lot of these guys, having not had any preseason games or very limited real training camp, it was a lot of defensive line rotation. We saw all five of the active defensive linemen pretty regularly. A lot of snaps for Brent Urban, a lot of snaps for John Jenkins off the bench. And Bilal Nichols played, it felt like, almost the entire game. I mean, they were really using all five guys in a fairly even rotation. I don't have the exact numbers, but anecdotally seeing a lot of 98, 95, 92, and 90 instead of 96 on the field. And I think to some extent that explains some of the lack of pass rush, that Brent Urban and John Jenkins are not elite pass rushing defensive linemen. They're just kind of average backups. That's why they're backups. But when they're playing a significant number of snaps, you start to notice it a little bit more. Like, we definitely needed to see more pass rushing from Akeem Hicks, better pass rushing from Bilal Nichols, better pass rushing from Roy Robertson Harris. The two of them did get a little bit here and there, but there was never that consistent enough threat. Khalil Mack a couple of times doing what he does. Barcavius Mingo starting at the other outside linebacker spot, not a premier pass rusher in any sense of the word. So I guess expectations should be low for him, and he produced at about expected level from a pass rushing standpoint. We got to see both James Waters and Trevis Gibson. They used all four of their active outside linebackers and all five of their active defensive linemen. A lot of rotating, like I said, but with all that rotating means your best players are spending a little bit more time on the bench, and that's part of why you don't get as consistent of a pass rush, even against an offensive line like the Lions, with a clear weakness, at least at right tackle. I think you do got to give them some credit for playing well. It's not as simple as, the Bears were bad, especially that left side of the Lions' offensive line seemed to do a pretty good job. And, you know, the Lions also did pretty good at some play action in there to try and slow down the pass rush, and some quick throws as well, some opportunities there to just kind of get the Bears tired. That was the other thing, is as the game wore on, it was sort of the same formula we saw at times last season with this Bears defense. If they just can't get off the field in certain situations, they get a little tired and the pass rush slows down. The coverage becomes a little bit more lax. There's a little bit more room to throw downfield, more time for Matthew Stafford to throw downfield, and that's how the Lions were able to kind of pull away with that lead there. But like usual, this Bears defense kind of banded together and buckled down and said, you know what, 23 points is enough. It was a touchdown to start the third quarter, then a field goal, and then they kind of put their foot down. And I think not coincidentally, after the Bears offense started getting going again. Like, it seemed like when the Bears couldn't stay on the field very long, the defense didn't get a lot of rest. But after the Lions hit that 23-point mark on the field goal by Matt Prater, then you had the Bears put together an 11-play, 60-yard drive that took, like, 4 or 5 minutes off of the clock. So, like, there was some real extended time for this defense to rest up a little bit, some momentum back on the Bears' side. It wasn't hopeless at that point. It was, okay, 10-point game, whole fourth quarter still to go. Maybe this defense can do something. And then there were a couple penalties on the Lions as well, I think, on the ensuing drive. But perhaps more importantly, they were able to kind of stuff a big run and force some incompletions and force that punt. And then that was sort of the Bears defense back on track. They had that hope, that energy again. And I can only imagine in an empty stadium, it was a little bit hard to generate some of that moxie and that swagger for themselves, especially as the Lions were able to kind of gash them in the running game. Adrian Peterson doing what he always has done against the Chicago Bears, but looking particularly young for a guy in his mid to late 30s, really able to have his way from a rushing standpoint. I believe he finished with 93 rushing yards on 14 carries for a 6.6-yard average. And I was particularly disappointed in both Danny Trevathan and Roquan Smith in run defense. Trevathan looked slow and old on the field pretty regularly. That one's that was a real concern for me. I'm curious what his health and status is going to be moving forward, and it's going to challenge this Bears linebacker depth perhaps. But then Roquan Smith just a couple of times kept getting out of place in the running game. Like he'd want to be the fast, explosive linebacker, shoot the gap, make a play, but he hit the wrong gap. You know, he'd see the fullback starting to go one direction, so he'd go there, and then the run ends up going a different way, and he ends up sort of out of position. He's trying to make the play. He's trying to do the right thing, but just if he would just sort of plug his hole and fill his spot where he was supposed to do, you know, eventually the running back would have nowhere to go, and somebody's going to make that tackle, even if it's not Roquan Smith. So I thought the linebacker play was particularly bad when it came to stopping the run. I thought that was a bigger reason why this run defense was so poor, even more so than the defensive line, who, again, wasn't doing a great job either. But this is where the Bears need to be better next week against the New York Giants and beyond, because Ryan Pace put his eggs in this front seven basket. Invest the big money in Robert Quinn, let go of Leonard Floyd, and ultimately go cheap in the secondary. Sort of saying that, yeah, we're going to affect the quarterback, and it's going to make everybody else's job easier. And to his credit, Jalen Johnson was excellent. Rookie second-round pick, looked like a veteran out there. Absolutely phenomenal. Yeah, he got trucked at one point for a big missed tackle, but phenomenal in coverage. Everything you could possibly ask of a rookie second-round pick in his first game and more. Jalen Johnson is legit. No need to worries there. I thought Tashawn Gibson played pretty well at safety too. You got our usual Kyle Fuller and Eddie Jackson doing their thing, forcing interception. I thought all in all the secondary held up better than I thought they would against the Lions. Although they didn't have Kenny Golladay, it was still an impressive passing attack from Detroit that I thought overall this secondary did pretty well, especially given the lack of pass rush in front of them. And it gives the Bears a good opportunity here where if Robert Quinn can come back healthy next week or very soon, Khalil Mack can get going a little bit, if Akeem Hicks can refine what he's been so good at through his career. If this pass rush gets going on top of the secondary playing well, this Bears defense is going to be tough. They've got the pieces there. They just have to execute better. And really, you know, you could say a lot of the same thing for the offense too. The pieces are there. The running game is working. Receivers are getting open. Some questions about the tight end spots, and we can get into a little bit more at a later time. But as much as everything went terrible for three quarters and everything clicked in the fourth, it still feels like a lot of the pieces are here for the Bears. And this is not going to be fully reflective of how the rest of their season is going to go. I think we still have a lot to learn about this team, and I think they're still going to knock some more rust off, and their identity as an overall team is still going to develop as the year goes on. You can be sure we'll keep a close eye on every development 5 days a week, all season long, right here on the Locked On Bears podcast. So make sure that you hit that subscribe button on whatever app you're using right now. Pull out your phone or however you're listening, tap that subscribe button, because that's the best way to keep up with all of our daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. As the week goes on, we'll keep you updated on all the latest injuries, particularly Robert Quinn. We'll go through the All-22 film from this game and see what else we can learn with more of a fine-tooth comb. And then on Thursday, we'll do our crossover Thursday with Patricia Traina from Locked On Giants. And before you know it, we'll be all ready for next Sunday as well. So I hope you enjoy your Victory Monday. We haven't had one of those in a long time. It's really fun to have Bears football back. Doing this podcast is more fun with real football happening on our televisions. I'm so glad to be back. I really appreciate everyone who stuck with us all throughout the offseason. Or if you're just jumping on to start the 2020 regular season, welcome. We love having you. I really appreciate you listening. And if you don't know, we end every podcast with the same two words, because each and every time you tune into Locked On Bears, I always really want you to feel like in that very moment, no matter where you are, what you're doing, or how you're listening, you can always take a second to bear down.